Pastor Rinaldo, would you like to just give right from there, if we get the microphone to you, a little testimony about Owings Mills before we start up here? Brian, you want to run it out too? And Dan, there's Marilyn, right? Marilyn, so good to have you here. It's amazing. That's a blessing. Good to see you.
It's been
good.
Great.
Morning. Actually, just say good morning, Pastor Rinaldo.
Good morning.
Let's say that to him. Good morning, Pastor
good morning.
Rinaldo. We love you. Yeah.
Like the first day in school. Yeah. No, it's been great. Owings Mills has been going on now for close to 2 years. And door knocking, visitation, evangelism. We go out 2 or 3 times a week. We meet once a week now on either Tuesdays or on Thursdays or Saturdays. People are very open. A lot of folks in Owings Mills don't really have a church home. A lot of folks want to grow with God. They want doctrine. They want a church that they can trust with the word. And we've had a great time. A lot of folks are asking us when we're going to go to Sunday mornings, which hopefully is soon. So pray for that. It's difficult to get a Sunday morning there because of the real estate. But nevertheless,
we own it.
We own it, right? Our God is bigger than that.
We own all the real estate. We own all the real estate, right?
Pray for us. Great team, great vision, great location, great people. Amen. Great church. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Wow. Have you ever done something in the Lord? You did something in the Lord by faith, and you experienced the grace of God. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. You did something by faith and the grace of God. What does that mean? The grace of God. I felt it or I experienced it. We get in a car. We go somewhere to preach. We preach, we come back in the car, and we have this joy, peace, quietness, you know, love, passion. We got to do that again. We got to do that again, you know. Have you ever had a prayer meeting where you gathered 2 people or 3 people, and then the prayer that happened, and then after you just... Wow, you just say prayer. That was amazing. Has that ever happened to you? I want to speak about that this morning. I want you to turn in your scriptures to Acts chapter 11. The 2 portions, Acts 11 and then in verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. I read this story this morning. Somebody sent it to me about a missionary who went to Africa. I'll give you the info later. I can't now. I don't have it with me. But I read the story. He had gone as a medical doctor in the Congo. 1911 or something, 1902, I mean, a long time ago. He returned to America after 17 years, and he felt he was a failure. He saw no fruit of his work. 9 years later, he died. But today, there's churches all over the place in that area, and they said, they traced it back. They did a study. Where did this come from? But it came from this missionary. Dr. Leslie, I believe it was his name. I love those stories because we are part of something that is a lot bigger than us. We are part of something that God has ordained that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And we can be partaking of it. We can be enjoying it. Look at verse 22, please. The news came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen and had seen the grace of God. He saw what? The grace of God. How can you see the grace of God? What did it say? When he came to that place, he saw the grace of God. What does it look like? When he saw the grace of God. There's a great book you should read if you can. It's not a big book. It's called Brutschko. Yeah, some of you have read it. This young man from Chicago area, when he was like 19 years old, 18, he graduated from high school, and he went by himself to the Ecuadorian Indians called the Matalón Indians, a tribe of people in the jungles. They slept in hammocks up in the trees, 40 feet high, so the jaguars would not get them at night when they slept. It was primitive people, naked, breechcloth, hunting with spears and bows and arrows. And to make this story short, he had been there, I think, 4 years. He learned the language. He spent time with those people. But he was so discouraged. And then one day, he heard the singing in the top of the trees. And he listened to the singing. And then he started to weep. They were singing about God. They were singing about Christ. He heard in their language. And he realized the Holy Spirit was moving in the top of the trees in the hearts of these people. And he was changing them. What does it look like when you see the grace of God? When you see God's grace in the lives of people? I want to share a couple points with you on that today. Look at verse 23. When he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I love the word cleave. It's used in a number of places, but you know, when Adam and Eve came together, they cleaved together. They were drawn to each other. When Jesus was with the disciples and the disciples were with Jesus, they were cleaving to him. Where will we go? I mean, you have hard things to say, but we can't leave you because we are called. Or Jesus would say, because I have called you in John 6. Then it says, he was a good man, this is Barnabas, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So, this is what has happened to you and I. And we see grace, not only when we first become believers, but as a way of life, we start to see the grace of God, not only in the beginning of our Christian life, but all through our Christian life, we see the grace of God. We recognize it, and we see it, because it is our normal life now, is a life of faith and grace. It's the nature of our God. He is the God of all grace. It's now gifts given to us constantly from our Heavenly Father. Common grace, and then abundant grace, and then greater grace. No matter what sin you have committed, His grace is bigger than your sin. No matter what crazy ideas you have had, His mind is greater than our crazy ideas. No matter how much we have failed ourselves or the people that love us, God's grace is greater. He is the restorer, the one that forgives and ministers to us. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 4, please, and our second text, and then we'll get to the points of our message. Ephesians chapter 4, we have the ministry of the leadership in verse 11 and verse 12. The leadership given to the church and the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. That's point number one, the Word of God. You see, God wants to reveal grace to us, but He must do it by the Bible. Because the Bible is the revelation of God. The Bible clarifies the mind of God. Left to ourselves, we may believe in God, but we don't know the nature of God. It's like finding somebody said, you know, you take a watch in a world without watches, in a primitive island somewhere, and you leave the watch in the sand, and a native comes and picks it up and looks at it, and it's like somebody looking and saying, hey, this isn't an accident. Somebody made it. But I don't know who made it. I don't know if the person that made it is a bad person or a good person. In the same way, unbelievers, when they look at the universe, they may believe in God, but they don't know who God is. It takes the Bible to reveal to us who God is. I need the Bible to tell me that God is love, that the one that made the universe loves me, that God that made it is wanting to talk to me. He wants to communicate with me. He wants to show me who He is. So we have these leaders that are gifted from God in chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12 for the maturing of the saints. God wants you to mature. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to mature. Man, you can say that again. God wants you to grow up. God wants you to become a mature saint. He wants you to be filled with His grace. He wants you to know Him. He is for you, not against you. He does not condemn you, but He loves you and came into the world, gave us Christ. Christ came into the world so we could know God and grow in His grace. Let me make a distinction here. Here's a man who gets saved. He is saved by grace. But how does he live? How does he live now? He is saved by grace, but how does he live? Well, he doesn't go to the church. He doesn't know the Bible. If you handed him the Bible, I mean, it wouldn't mean much to him. He doesn't know. It's so big and thick and so many pages, and he's not interested. What happens to him? He's an empty person, not knowing the one that made the universe and saved his soul. We don't really know about his salvation because there isn't any fruit there. We don't know if he has any changed life. He doesn't pay any attention to it. He's not making any decision. You see, when I make a decision and I believe, the Holy Spirit will lead me. Now I go by faith. Now I'm in the church because great grace is in the church. The church is a place where God gives his grace in practice. Look at, in practice, he gave gifts. These gifts are these leaders that are able to teach the scripture. Leaders teach the scripture. Look at it, verse 12. What happens? Maturing of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What do you mean, body of Christ? Well, we read in Ephesians 5 that Christ is the head and we are members of the body. Look at my body up here. Got a hand and a leg and fingers and arms. And the body of Christ is a metaphor for us. We are members, these little parts and pieces, and we are all together organically. You know, if you go to a car, I want to compare a car with a horse. Okay? If I go to the car and I kick the tire, I'm only affecting the tire. But I go to a horse and I kick the leg, the whole animal reacts. The whole animal turns around, or the whole animal feels it. If I go to a car and I rip the windshield wiper off, okay, wait, it's only a machine. It has no effect on the muffler or the engine. It's just the windshield wiper. I rip it off. If I go to a horse and I punch it in the eye, okay, it's not a machine. It's not a machine. It's a body. It's an organism. In the same way, we are members of Christ's body. Imagine. Grace is there. The grace of God is in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God. When Barnabas went to this place, Antioch, and he saw the grace of God, we could put in there other words. It doesn't say this, but I'm saying it to help us understand. He saw their joy. He saw their love. He saw their faith. He saw the grace of God was with those people. He saw their freedom. He saw their worship. He saw their prayer. He saw the reality of Christ in those people. Well, the same we have seen as some have the privilege to travel to Africa, India, Hungary, Poland, Russia, Argentina, and we come back to from these places and we say, there's no way to explain it. But believers are made up of Christ's calling, Christ's nature, Christ's headship. We speak the same things. We understand the same things. In a couple of weeks, some thousands of people are going to be here on our campus. And we'll sit here and be together and hear missionary stories and about the miracles of God that he's doing in these places. And we'll see the grace of God. Because this is his will, that God would be working through his people. That this is his will for your life and mine. I read about a disease or a problem with this little boy. His body was growing, but the bones in his one arm were not growing. So his arm was small, but the rest of his body was mature. But his arm was small. And we must say that the body of Christ isn't like that, but it increases with the increase of God. Look at, read it with me. It says here, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That means when we are in heaven, we will have all of everything that God had. We will be a bride fully prepared. You know, I was at a wedding in New York yesterday. My niece was married, and The wedding was 11 in the morning, and the makeup people came at 5:30 in the morning. Oh, wow. Really? Like, really? 4 hours to put on? Okay. I mean, this woman, and she was very beautiful and a wonderful bride, and the wedding was beautiful. But preparation, preparation for the marriage, preparation for meeting Christ, preparation to be in the very presence of God in perfect order and maturity of character. Wow, that's a big one. Maturity of character. The character of Christ worked in you and in me. That's what we're here for. That we would become like him. That we would be a bride one day. And we will come in the unity of the faith, in verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Perfect man. Perfect man. Wow. Perfect man. I would say perfect man, Jesus, and woman, his bride, but it doesn't say that. We will be one. Do you know what it says about Adam and Eve in the Bible? Genesis 5, verse 1. It says, their name was Adam. Their name was Adam. How many were there? One. One name, one. They were man and woman made one. What does it say here? We will one day be made a perfect man. Christ is the head, we are the body. Unto the measure of the stature. What degree will we be? What degree will we be when we are with God in heaven? Go ahead, 14. I think we missed the part. Wasn't it the rest of 13? It says, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We missed that part. There it is. The what measure? The fullness of Christ is in us. The fullness of Christ is in us. This is where we're going. This is what is happening. Look at verse 14. That we will not henceforth be children tossed to and fro. You ever seen a child in a grocery store tossed to and fro by a candy bar? Ever seen a child demanding his will or his way in a store, throw a tantrum? Or you ever see a teenager go off with somebody they shouldn't be with and they come back a different person? Have you ever seen anybody tossed to and fro by a wave on the sea, by a boat in the sea in the storm, by the storms of life? Have you ever seen any of us get into trouble in life and become very emotional and lose our bearings and lose our foundation or our faith or lose our orientation? Well, that has happened to me. But the good news is that it says there in the rest of the verse, it says that this would not be happening and we would be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight or the deceit of men and cunning craftiness. Their words are deceitful. Have you ever seen a guy, handsome guy with a suit on and a rose and a bar of chocolate, go to a young woman, knock on her door, and just be just everything that she wants him to be? And the best thing she could do would be to shut the door and run for her life. That guy is not a good guy, but he looks like it. That guy is not the answer to her dreams. He's a nightmare. He is a nightmare. Have you ever been ripped off by a businessman? Have you ever been anything stolen from you? Have you ever been betrayed or misled or deceived? It happens. But no, that should not be happening to you and me. Because the grace of God, the mind of God, the church of God, it's a safe place. The church is to be a place where I grow in the stature of Christ. The church is a place where I'm to be edified in godliness. The church is a place, maybe, if God gives you the grace, if he does that, you find your girlfriend who becomes a friend. And it's a holy relationship in the beginning of the relationship and through it. And if marriage is there, that's a beautiful thing. But it happens in a beautiful way. We can just say by God's grace. And it happens all the time. But it's God's way, God's grace, God's spirit, God's way, by his means that he's ordained for us. I'm going to read it in a minute. Look, it says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, like we're doing today. Maybe your mom and dad just speak the truth in love. Maybe your friend. Maybe in a Bible study, maybe a group of people, they speak the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'm going to finish pretty soon. Wait a minute. I don't want to lose you. I just kind of felt that I lost some. I lost you. You tuned out. I mean, you're thinking about getting married or something. I don't know. You're just off, you know. The other group I lost back here with the makeup story. And they're still thinking about 4 hours of makeup. And others, all right, you lost them with the idea of getting married or not getting married. I lost you. Wait a minute, let's back up. Let's reset the button. Reset. I'm trying to say, or what we are saying, God has ordained for you a way where grace, God's gifts to you, God's ministry to you, changes your life and helps you in this world. Where you find Jesus in a real way. To be honest, sometimes I wonder if people do find Jesus in a real way. I know they can if they would be faithful. Just keep at it. Keep coming. Keep believing, obeying. You will find Jesus. It happened to so many of us. We're here for that reason. But I'm afraid that people stop short. Sometimes they just say, I don't know. I got my stuff going on. But they don't realize what God wants to do for them, help them. Their mind wanders all the time. Their hearts are divided. They are not sure what they're looking for. They have divided loyalty, confusion in their heart and in their mind. They haven't found the Bible to be a spiritual diet. They haven't found the message to ring clear to their heart. They haven't found prayer as a way of life. Like, pray and trust in God with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Grace, and we will see the grace of God in life. How did that happen? Grace of God, I'm telling you. The grace of God. Did you have cancer? Yeah, I had cancer, but I'm over it, through it now. How are you doing? I'm fine. God did it. He worked. He spoke to me. He led me. He gave me grace. And also, he did heal me of my cancer. It did happen. I was single, and I couldn't believe I couldn't live any longer as a single person. I got restless in my heart and my life, but I was abiding in him and trusting him with all my heart, and he gave me grace, and I'm totally satisfied and contented, and if God gives me that, that'll be great, and if he doesn't, that's his business, but I'm not going to play around looking. I'm not going to play with fire, because if I play with fire, I'm going to get burnt in Proverbs chapter 6. But the grace of God is on us and with us. It is. Yes, here with us and leading us and working. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, all parts, Africa part, India part, Argentina part, Don Barnes, Florida, Chicago part, up in Maine here, in different parts of Baltimore. We are fitted together, compacted by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Christ in you works in us. Your life builds us up. Your life encourages us, inspires us, and it makes an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There it is it? Yeah, makes increase of the body. Body is growing up to be six, like Kevin Durant, 6'4", 280 pounds. I mean, that's a big human being. You know, the body is increasing proportionately with every part. There's an assembly up there. There's an assembly up there. And we are coming. We are coming. We are coming. We're coming. And now we are here, and the grace of God, you can see it with us. It is working. We are maturing, we are growing, we are becoming like him. And one day we will be there in a big, huge, awesome way. It's happening, really. Here's some words to think about how it happens. The Word, the Bible, the Bible. The only reason why I am here, I mean, in my Christian life and through my life, is because the Bible speaks to us. It is not an empty thing, Deuteronomy 32:47. It's a fire. It's a hammer, Jeremiah 23:29. Sometimes it stings a little bit. I need it. I don't need to be pampered. I need to grow up. I need to become a mature man. I said to a man, he lives with his girlfriend, and I said to the man, you know, you're living with a girl, but you got to be responsible. You got to make a commitment. You got to get married. You got to say, I'll take you, good or bad. Right now, you're cheating because you can check out. You can check out. That's cheap. And you're not gaining anything. You're just cheating. And probably you're going to get out of it because you're going to be a coward one day. But you got to put your big boy pants on. And you got to become a man. And you got to say, I will take you as my wife. Good and bad. Good days and bad days. Because I want to become like Jesus. And God gives you grace so that you can become more than what just like you would be if just your mother raised you. If your mother raised you, it's like, you know, I do your laundry, I cook, I make your toast. I know you don't like the crust on your bread. I cut the Wonder Bread. I cut the crust off. And, you know, Johnny, is that okay? And he's 32 years old playing video games in the basement. And that's all that he is. And come on, he needs a church, and he needs God, and he needs a Bible, and he needs a message, and he can grow up. He can grow up and become something that the world, your family will not make men and women of God. The church will make men and women of God. And you bring your family to the church. And you don't have it. You don't have it. Maybe you do. There are some that do. Hallelujah. But I'm just so thankful that the church can do a lot. And when we fail because of our, because of life, we don't maybe, and all many, many reasons, and that's another subject, but we gotta finish up here. Number two, water baptism. And you find the grace of God when you get water baptized as a believer, not as an infant, but as a believer. And you go in the tank, which is right over here. And we put you down until no more bubbles come up. Now I'm joking. Some people are horrified right now. I'll never get baptized in that church. I will never do it. Never. I'm joking. We just put you under the water and your own free will. You can do that. But the grace of God, the Lord's Supper, the grace of God, prayer meetings, the grace of God. That's the grace of God. You start to love it. Worshiping God. You get here on time and we do the songs and we worship God and you love it. The presence of God in the body of Christ. You know, the Puritans used to teach that. They would say the greatest manifestation of God is when we gather. When we gather, that's when God is manifesting himself in the greatest way. Isn't that beautiful? We gather. 2 Chronicles 5, when they went out to war, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and they sang before they went out. They were worshiping. David was a worshiper. You and I are worshipers. We give the praise, sacrifice of praise to God, and the grace of God is with us. When we had the prayer meetings up in Lenox, when we started, Pastor Stephen said, we're going to go to New Hampshire and have a prayer meeting one day with the Bible College. And I remember that to this day, and it was more than 45 years ago. But I remember it very well. Well, maybe I do. And we prayed in the grace of God. We're going to go into all the world, the grace of God. We're going to pray for the sick, the grace of God. We're going to open the Bible and teach it, the grace of God. People are going to get saved, the grace of God. Young people are going to get on fire for God, the grace of God. This is normal for us when we embrace it and walk in it by faith, that we would find and see God's grace with us. Church discipline, how important it is for the elders and the pastor to say, that's wrong. We love you, but that's not right. That's wrong. We have to talk to you in humility and correct you. Galatians 6:1. We have to correct, encourage, and teach and instruct, because we all need some guidance in regards to how we go, and it works in us humility. When somebody tells me I don't want to hear, but it's God's will, it's God's mind, then I'll take it. I may not like it, but I'll take it. You don't leave the church when you get upset or hurt by something. You don't leave the church when things are not going your way. You seek God, and you say to God, God, I want your will. I don't like that, what that happened. I don't know what they are. I may not receive it or appreciate it, but maybe that is your will. I need help. I want to know your will. And as we walk in his will, we find the grace of God. You know, many times our missionaries, they go out and they are not sure what will happen. But they go out and things just come together and they are amazed and they see the grace of God. And then they send word back home. It's amazing. God sent us. God is working. He is saving. He is doing his work. We are so encouraged and satisfied. But we're way over here saying, do you have enough coffee? They go, we don't have it anymore. You know, making this up. We don't have, you know, we don't care that much anymore about the things we were caring about back home. We are caring now about this here, and we see God's hand and his grace. But how do you sleep well at night? Thank you. God bless you. We are not thinking about it like that. We have found something. The grace of God is on us. And it's not where we live or how we are living. It is what God is doing and the joy in our heart and the peace that we have. Because that's the grace of God. Isn't that good? So here we, and then lastly, we have fellowship with each other. And could I say, learn about and know people in the church that are all around you. Just take a minute, look around. Do you see three people you don't know here this morning? You see them, you see a lot of people you don't know. 10, 15, 20, 30, 100 people you don't know. Well, that's normal. You're new, or that's normal. But don't go all years, year after year, without having a ministry to people that are here. Maybe they will benefit by your grace. They will benefit by your love and your prayer. Go to somebody you don't know and say, how can I pray for you? What is your name? What is my name? Stay around a little bit. That's called body life. Stay around and have some fellowship, and maybe you need it, and they need your portion too. Giving is a gift, a ministry of grace. Grace comes when we are givers. Giving, giving, and God gives you grace, and you realize giving is so much fun. It's great to be a servant and a giver. And then evangelism. Always have a track with you, just one even, just one track. And every day you share a track. You don't have to be out in the street giving out many or giving out 10 or 30 in a day, but one in a day or of more if you want, whatever. But I'm trying to say it's not a program. It's a thing of faith and prayer. Lord, I got one. Who can I give it to today? And you will find God's grace in that. You'll come back and say, wow, that was a good little talk I had. Thank you, Lord. Help me and lead me to talk to other people about you because they are struggling and they need it. Amen.